First, maybe this sounds a little familiar.
In these times of uncertainty.
During this time of great uncertainty.
During these uncertain times.
During these uncertain times.
In uncertain times.
In uncertain times.
Uncertain times.
We're all familiar with the Super Bowl ad, but what about the pandemic ad? It's begun to take on its own identity. Advertisers want to meet their consumers where they're at, and they made some very quick, calculated moves to send out messages of reassurance in the early months of the pandemic. But our next guest says it all started to sound kind of the same. Amanda Hess is a critic at large for the New York Times. She writes about internet and pop culture for the arts section and contributes regularly to the New York Times Magazine. She wrote the piece and put together a video, The Pandemic Ad Salutes You. Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
When, Amanda, did you start to feel that sense that all these messages from companies were starting to blur together?
You know, it started really early for me. I think in late March, I started noticing that the ads have changed from, you know, the very sort of common ad we're used to that shows a hamburger and all of the pleasure that you can have consuming it, to these ads that had, you know, very somber piano music, shots of empty streets, and then images of families experiencing some kind of silver lining under quarantine, often that never showed the product at all.
Yeah, what do you think is behind that thinking? We've seen, you know, companies try to keep their brands out there in bad times, but not look like they were trying to sell anything before. How are they trying to navigate that?
You know, one of the strains of these ads is to focus instead of on the product, on the employees who are creating the product. So the employees have really become the stars of the ads themselves. You see them working in Amazon warehouses or delivering FedEx packages or, you know, walking down the aisles of a supermarket wearing a mask. And I think there are a few impulses behind that. One is, I think it seeks to reassure consumers that whatever they're buying is a safe product. So it's created by people who are taking precautions. But it's also capitalizing on this idea that has arisen during the pandemic that essential workers are heroes. And so if you buy something from Amazon, the argument of the ads go, you are not just getting something that could help distract you or tide you over during quarantine, but help support these people who are being put forth as, you know, heroically working under these pandemic conditions.
You, in that video I mentioned, you shared part of an interview you did with a grocery store worker. Share how she felt about that whole hero concept.
Yeah, so she had worked at Trader Joe's when the coronavirus hit, and she started to see this narrative arise very quickly, both from her bosses and from consumers, and just from the corporate messaging that we're talking about, that people in her position who are grocery store clerks are heroes. And what she told me was that she really appreciated this idea that people were thanking her for doing her job, but she also felt like this hero framing tended to paper over the idea that her job all of a sudden was very dangerous. And especially at the beginning, people had no idea what the actual risks were to people in her position. But we do know that a lot of the people who are contracting the coronavirus are these essential workers. And so there's, to her, you know, she wants to emphasize that even though it comes from this, you know, nice, sort of good, well-meaning place to consider her a hero, that she is also a victim. And of course, the ads do not emphasize that element of the story.
Now, the essential workers portrayed as heroes in these ads. You noticed another theme, though. I want to hear another group of heroes here in a Burger King ad.
Your country needs you to stay on your couch and order in. Do your part, and we'll do ours. Order through the Burger King app, and the delivery fees are on us. So staying home doesn't just make us all safer. It makes you a couch patriot.
So we are the heroes if we stay home and buy your product.
Yeah, so Burger King is obviously having a little bit of fun with that idea, mm-hmm. but it's also a real strain of these ads where I think first what we saw was places like Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's emphasized that they were feeding frontline workers. So they were feeding nurses. You saw a ton of nurses, people in all sorts of PPE in their ads. And then there was this kind of extension of that idea. So not just that a place like McDonald's might serve a hero, but that really anyone who went to McDonald's and contributed to the economy could also kind of consider themselves a hero. And Burger King is both kind of making fun of that idea and also exploiting it to get people to order from the restaurant.
Talking to Amanda Hess, critic at large for the New York Times, about a piece she wrote and a video she made looking at pandemic ads and why they all start to look and sound the same. Let's check out the soundscape of one of these ads. This one, I think, is Uber. A lot of them don't have the talking. They just have images, the music, and maybe some words on a screen. Here's a little bit of the sound of one of these ads. Hey, it was kind of sad, but now it's kind of happy, Amanda.
Yeah, I think the written message of the Uber ad ended up being thank you for not riding Uber, which is obviously a total reversal from what an ad is typically for. But yeah, there tends to be an emotional shift in these ads. So first, there's like a somber acknowledgement that we're living in unprecedented times. But then there's this upbeat sort of key change that, you know, the human spirit is rising above it. And of course, the brand then aligns itself with this optimistic message at the end of the video.
And Amanda, I'm going to make a confession here. Obviously, a lot of these ads are, you know, they're trying to get an emotional response. And on me, they work. Even just watching the clips of them in your piece where you're talking about how, you know, this is a strategy and how they work. Yeah, there are moments where I even feel a little choked up watching these things. You too? Or is this just me?
Yeah, no, they've absolutely gotten me. I mean, one thing that a lot of the ads emphasize is there are a lot of pregnant women in the ads. So there are pregnant women, you know, staring out the window, touching their stomachs, and sort of like representing this optimistic future. And for me, as someone who's like 7 months pregnant right now, I think they can get me a little bit before I start to think about, you know, exactly what the image is working for. And then it does come from, you know, a multinational company.
Another theme you note in this is that a lot of these ads are using, you know, actual people type stuff, or at least things that look like that, things that, you know, people might have made at home and then posted on their own on social media. What kinds of stuff?
Yeah, so you see these videos that appear to be taken by cell phones. And so some of them show like a baby riding on a Roomba, or a dog that's walking on like an exercise ball, or any other sort of like amusing quarantine scene that you might have captured when you're bored in your house. There's also some drone footage that's been used. There is a Dunkin' Donuts ad of a grandfather who had delivered some donut holes to his grandchildren with a drone. And those just kind of like implicate us in this whole idea. And they imply that, you know, these little videos that we're making, these little experiences that we're having are constructive. And so we too are contributing to this kind of like resistance against the pandemic.
Now, I'm sure marketing companies are going to spend lots of money to try to answer this question. But what do you think, Amanda, as you watch these, about, you know, the impact they might have on people and how we perceive the brands making these pandemic ads?
You know, it's interesting because in a lot of cases, I'm someone who doesn't watch the news on television very often. And so I was really seeing images of the pandemic exclusively through the ads. When I started to see them, it was was really the only place that I was being kind of directly confronted with a lot of the imagery from it. You know, I'm in New York, and so for a time, this was the epicenter of it, but you really don't see much when you're sitting in your house. And so I think what these companies are trying to do with that is, A, not seem like they're being insensitive in this time that's so horrible for so many people. So not just running a standard ad, but also, you know, trying to position themselves, I think, for the future, for when things return to normal, that there's some kind of sense that we were all in it together, us and the brands, and maybe that will make us feel better about the product when we have hopefully a little bit more spending money.
And as we wrap up, Amanda, we've, you know, we're mostly not stuck at home anymore, at least not legally. But now we have the death of George Floyd and the protests that followed on that. Are you watching to see how companies are getting that, you know, trying to advertise and not look insensitive during the protests?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen any classic TV ads yet that respond to that, but there are so many PR and brand messages on social media. And it's really sort of, it's surprising, you know, I've never seen so many companies react in such a way where even the NFL is releasing a video saying that it all of a sudden it supports its players peacefully protesting. And I think that, you know, part of it is that it's happening during the pandemic and there's so much pressure on the internet and everything that we're experiencing on the internet. And so when something huge like that happens, I think it takes over every segment of our culture. And also it's just the impact of social media on advertising, I think, where now if you're putting an ad out on Twitter or Facebook, the way for it to be seen or the way for your statement to be seen is for it to in some way reference current events, reference the things that people are talking about on social media. And so, yeah, it will be interesting to see how companies continue to navigate that.
Amanda, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That's Amanda Hess, critic at large at the New York Times. She writes about internet and pop culture for the arts section and contributes to the New York Times Magazine. She wrote the piece, "The Pandemic Ad Salutes You," and made a video to accompany that.